Yep. Hello.
Do you hear me?
Yep, not really well. Losing my
Okay, one
volume or
second. No, it's
you
probably
oh. Oh
me.
yeah, I can hear you now, yep.
Yeah.
So how is everybody?
I'm reasonable.
Oh, that's a start.
Recording has already started, Stefan. Pop your
Okay.
request in the chat. Right. So I do have a couple of pre-submitted questions for today. Popular topic today, Peter.
Yep, has Steph got the important question? Wait, should we just stop the recording a moment while he asks this important question anyway? Just pause that a minute. Okay. All right, it's about time. People joining.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, we're just past the hour anyway. We all joined early. How about that, eh? Just doing that. So, 2025. There we go. Okay. So let's begin. So, hello, everybody. Welcome to December. Hello, Barbara. Thank you for that wonderful welcoming wave. Hello, Katrina. Oh, okay. Who else wants to wave at me? Yay! Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Peter, whilst I'm doing these introductions and my notices, if I might ask you to have a look at who is in attendance, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much. You're so welcome, Stefan. And I hope that your friend does well. I really do. So December, we are racing towards the final part of this Gregorian calendar. And what do we have coming up in this month? Obviously, we have today's Q&A, where Peter will be talking to you about how to protect from all of these negative energies and entities and curses and spells and banish them and do all of these nasty things that are coming into our existence that we see of late. And I have put the link into the chat for Peter's most recent article, How to Protect Yourself and Using Plants to Protect Yourself from These Negative Energies. And I'm sure Peter will be elaborating on that today, as well as going beyond that topic and talking to you in general about how to protect yourself from the negatives. And also coming up in November, no, We're in December. Also coming up in December, we have the next magical membership workshop on the 21st, which is all about how to use angels and demons to manifest and to create the life that you want. So if either the topic of angels or demons intrigues you, or if the topic of manifestation intrigues you, because we are coming into a new Gregorian calendar, New Year's resolutions, New Year's dreams and goals and ideals and all of that, then this workshop could be for you. You can use these powerful, powerful entities to help you create the life you love. Peter, would you like to share something about the workshop that is upcoming?
There's going to be a lot of empowerment to this one, so prepare to get fried. See, I'm going to be linking you to certain angels and whole groups of angels with the talismans to actually achieve certain things. And when the angels work with you, it's pretty powerful. So students themselves are going to bring these angels into your life, so you can do this, do these spells. And so during this that particular workshop, you're going to get lots of attunements where the angels will be coming into you, and then we'll cover a few safe demons if you are up to it.
And I've seen the handout, and there's lots of nice goodies given to you during this workshop. So if you want to work with talismans and pictures and all sorts of things, and you've got particular ideals in mind, then I'm sure there's a talisman and an angel and a demon that can help you with that. So if you're part of the membership, this is obviously inclusive to you. If you want to join us for a one-off, you are welcome. I'll pop the link in the chat very, very shortly when Peter starts talking. The other thing that I want to draw your attention to is that in February, as you know, Peter will be facilitating his combined retreat in Peru, where we have the 3-week intensive point holding, where anybody is welcome to join, as long as you have completed part one of the Ultimate Healing course, which you can do online in your own time between now and then, if you have not yet done it already, but also the 9-day ayahuasca, the medicine retreat. So that is, they're running one after the other, so you can do one or the other. Or you can do both together and have your head even more fried, if that's particularly possible. The reason why I'm calling this out to your attention right now is because you do have just over 1 month to declare your intentions that you are coming to either one or the other, because deposits need to be paid and places need to be reserved, because there are incredibly limited spaces on both of these options, whether you just want to do the body electronics, a point holding, or whether you want to do medicine retreat or both. So, Peter, can you talk about how powerful this is going to be as a combined retreat and why you are doing this now for the first time ever?
Well, both are very powerful. I mean, the reason I've done it together is because each one is powerful in its own. People usually just want one and have some time to recover. What I'm finding these days, though, is people need an extra push. You find in many therapies, you go so far and you get stuck, you need to hit from another angle. People want an extra push to get through their biggest problems, to really, get through what's blocking all their lives. And sometimes you need to do things in sequences, do something really intense and something else really intense afterwards to actually get it from a different angle and really get it out. The point holding is tend to be more under your control to a degree because, you hold points, emotions come up, you're processing them. When you do the medicine, it's like throws everything up suddenly and you don't know what's going to come up. It kind of hits you by surprise, gets all the things unexpectedly that you basically when your control's down. Often find healing works best when you're not in control, when you're not expecting it. You don't know what's going to happen, so you're not trying to control the process. This is where the medicine comes in. After you've done all the other processing and you've got so far, you're constantly aware of what you've been working through your past memories and releasing old patterns and so on. Then suddenly the medicine hits another level and all the unexpected comes out. All the stuff you were never prepared to face comes out before you can stop it. So often you make the biggest breakthrough at that point. So for any really stubborn problems in your life that haven't gone, the combination is what gets it. 3 weeks of point holding where you can really work through your Kundalini, working up the spine through the head, everything, clearing all the blocks out, and then finding the medicine to actually hit anything that's gone up you haven't found yet. More than expected.
Indeed. And not that this is going to attract anyone, but I intend to go. So that might put some people off. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, actually. But he's like, yeah, shut up, Carrie, move on.
That means you impress the buttons and they can go through resistance.
I will be your trigger, happily. What else was I going to say? Yes, so deposits need to be paid and intentions need to be set. So please do, if you are considering that, then do follow the link that's just been put in the chat so that you can reserve your spot. As I said, numbers available are very, very limited. The other thing that you will want to know is that Peter will be facilitating an in-person live dragon magic training in January in the Netherlands with Harry. So if anybody wants to do, even if you've done dragon magic before, I've done it multiple times live with Peter, well, with no one else really. It's only ever going to be with him, isn't it, really? But I've done it multiple times, and each time it's powerful. You can refresh your attunements to all of these wonderful entities and take your dragon magic to the next, or take it to that next deeper level. So if you want to attend live in January in the Netherlands with Harry and Peter, then the link again has been put in the chat, I do believe. And if you are unable to come to Point Hold in February, then there will be a Netherlands-based one later on in the year. Dates to come. I do believe that's been put in the chat as well. I think that's everything that I want to say about what's coming up. So, Peter, I'm going to hand over to
Okay.
you. And no, Stefan, I'm not wild. I'm quiet. Actually, honestly, on the last retreat, I was the quietest one in the room. No, maybe not. No, that wasn't true. Not on the last day. Right. So, I'm going to hand over to Peter. I'm going to spotlight you, please. And if you would start to talk to us about this very, very important and wonderful topic, and maybe start off explaining why you're talking about protection a lot at this particular time, because you've chosen this topic for quite a few things, so.
Well, basically, the reason I'm doing it now is because it's been a lot happening in the world where people are beginning to realize more and more that there's something out there that's threatening them and they don't quite know what it is. A lot of you can guess because there's also many governmental and deep state things going on with these hidden problems in vaccines and mind control and the hidden things in the electromagnetic waves of 5G. All kinds of things people are not quite sure of, and people are basically having problems, having mental problems, emotional problems, health going downhill. So many things are going wrong in their lives, so they're not quite sure what to do about it. And all the usual things they've done before don't work because there's some subtle attacks going on which undermine the system in a way they're not used to. Now, this also aggravates other problems that people have been more aware of for longer, like social entities and curses and things. Quite often they're things you can handle, but then when it's overwhelmed by new things as well, well, basically people get overwhelmed. And we need to up the protection. We need to kind of have more angles of protection, as it were, more levels to handle these different problem areas. So really it's a case of upgrading our defences, upgrading our auras and everything about it so that none of these problems can get in. So looking at mind control, we're looking at chemicals and invading technologies, as well as the kind of heavy energies brought in by vaccines. And also there is a demonic element to these things. One thing you might have noticed is when it was like my Sonics, I put this demonic disease assessment out there. Is it because when I was looking at the problem behind things like COVID and other diseases coming with it, there's a demonic element. There's energies coming in from wherever, through the behind the mind control, the other agendas, that's actually quite demonic. That seems to get in when the system is opened. That's more than just actually what the chemicals and technology are doing. Something demonic comes in, which is affecting on the soul level, and actually, yeah, puts forward this destructive kind of agenda which is spreading through the world. So there are various levels of protection that we need here, more than what we used to have. It's about at this time when people are being most threatened, people like either dying or becoming suicidal because of what's going on. We need to stop and have a look at that. Since the big thing is assisted suicide around the world, a lot of people are going for it because they've been so depressed and lost so much already, people just giving up and dying. And almost this is part of the agenda as well, the way they're subtly killing people off and making it look like it's their choice. There's so many things undermining this these days, undermining your confidence, your ability to create your own reality, your will to live, and then things are trying to kill you as well. So obviously we need protection. We need to assert ourselves here and not let all that kind of undermining influence in. This is why we're actually kind of increasing the protection. So I think I mentioned a few things in my blog and my article post about things like banishing ritual, which are traditional things, keeping negative energies out. But you're also looking at things like the mind control, the kind of hidden message in the 5G, which affects our aura. And so there are a few things I'll talk about a bit more to actually overcome those. As I mentioned before, tachyon is a great defense against any electromagnetic pollution. Now, the thing with things like 5G and the other kind of waves that are going out is that they're so strong, we need to actually use the tachyon more precisely. That's why I made my what we call my PEMF shield in the Sonic Talismans. It actually matches the vibration that puts Tachyon out at the right frequency to neutralize the incoming threat. And that works really well. And that's also a part of the mind control, because obviously if they can put mind control in on an electromagnetic level, the Tekkon helps neutralize that. Plus also we need to actually put barriers around the mind to stop these messages getting in. And that's a simple way of doing that, which is not that simple really, but this is for your scientist. But when you actually look at how the brain works, there are certain algorithms you can find in the brain which are yours. And once you actually know what they are, you can actually neutralize anything that shouldn't be there that isn't yours. So there's a simple defense there when I do my kind of mind shield, which actually stops anything that isn't really yours. Simple as that. It tunes to who you are and neutralizes things that are not you. So things like that are good for actually keeping out these mind control influences, as well as the kind of things which undermine your energy system. Entity's another thing. The banishing ritual I've taught before, so I've put it up on the YouTube somewhere as well, and it's some of my courses. It's good for clearing negative energies, entities, and so on. But when things are opening doors to them, we need to close those doors. That's the thing. A lot of this requires some pretty high magic, but I've made it easy by creating some more psionic tools for that, like the Portal Guardian, for instance, is to close those portals. So those are things I've put out there to actually deal with these new threats, as it were. But what I will do now is go straight over to questions so I can see what you need and any problems you need to deal with, and if necessary, do some new attunements and things. So go straight over to questions now so we can see what everybody's dealing with.
Thank you very much. So, whilst I'm reading out the pre-submitted questions, if you have any specific ones for Peter right now, if you wouldn't mind putting them in the chat, that would be great. Okay, so how do I? So, I've got four questions related to one person. So, I'll ask them one each in turn. How do I best capture and not banish, but fully destroy negative entities that torment me? I don't want to simply protect from them because they keep coming back all the time and trying again, or simply banish these negative beings because they keep coming back when they can, but to the fullest destroy, kill, and dissolve them into nothingness so that they can never ever come back and bother me and others again.
Two things. First of all, the Astras actually destroy things. They don't just actually banish, they destroy. Particularly Asura Astra, I've given that on the Astra course. It destroys entities. Also, you would look at his portals. See what happens sometimes you banish one thing, another one comes in because the portal's still open. So that's why I've created the kind of portal guardian plate. And there's also the liminal door closer talisman. So those are things you actually use to close the doorways so they can't come back. Because if things keep coming, it's because there's a door open, basically. Otherwise, you banish something and it's gone. But if there's a door open, it'll keep coming back. If you destroy it, something else comes in. So you have to be able to close doors as well. Several ways you can do that. I said there's the portal guardian plate and the talisman are put out. But also, if you do voodoo, you invoke Legbor Calfa to close the door. In other traditions, it would be Ganesha as a doorkeeper. In the Egyptians, it would be Nut or Nephthys, is also the Lady of the Gates. So
Sorry,
basically, you
can
can
you
never.
say that again? You went a bit quick over that
Okay,
one.
so in the Egyptian system, there's Nut, which opens up the sky to the gods, but also Nephthys, as the Lady of the Gates, closes all the underworld gateways. So basically, according to which system you work with, there's always a doorkeeper invoked to close the door. So just be aware of that. You don't just banish, you actually close doors. That's important too.
And then the following on question from that, which I'm sure you've probably just covered, what are the most powerful tools that you can recommend that you can give and empower us to that to do to be able to do that?
Well, we already got the Astras from the Astra course.
When you say Astral Course, are you referring to the workshop that you facilitated
Yes, we
rather
did.
than
Yes,
the
we did one.
course?
We did
You
one. Yes,
did.
we did one. Yeah,
Yes.
we did a little workshop on against some Astras, didn't
Protection.
I? Yeah, and we
Yes.
gave some
Yeah.
Astras out. Yeah, so you refer to that because there were some Astras for destroying demons. So that's the one to do.
So if I could ask for the link for that to be put into the chat, please, if anyone wants to refer back to that particular workshop, that would be great. Thank you very much. And then the next question, how should one best go about this task of really destroying once and for all such negative beings? If you feel you want to add anything else, Peter.
Well, that goes back to the Asura Astra. I mean, Asura Astra is the one that destroys demons. That's what it's for. If you got that, go back to that other workshop. That'll destroy any demon you like. Anything that's bothered you, destroy it forever. Simple. You just put the Astra out and it does the job.
And then, can one really destroy, say, demons and such very powerful negative beings, or is this impossible because they are just too old, sneaky, and powerful to even be possibly destroyed and killed?
It's going to realize there's different levels of reality, as it were. Nothing is really gone forever because anything that's ever been exists somewhere in the memory of God, Goddess, all that is. Therefore, it can be reinvoked, rebuilt, whatever. However, we can destroy it in our reality. It doesn't exist in our dimension, in our timeline anymore. That's why it's so important to close doorways. You see, there's always things to be brought back from somewhere. Even things that have been totally destroyed seem to be coming back from somewhere again because, as I said, nothing really stopped existing on every level. We don't exist in our reality. So keep those doors closed. This is important. That's why there have been different banishing symbols. Particularly when you look at things like the Necronomicon, looking at these old ones which come from very deep and dark places, there were particular symbols to keep those out because the normal pentagram wasn't enough. Every dimension has its certain symbols for seals to keep them out. So it's good to actually know how to seal things. If you haven't got time to go into all those deep magics, remember there's Isonix, there's an Old One Destroyed Talisman, there's a Liminal Door Closer, there's a Portal Guardian. These are things which actually keep everything out. And any new doors that open, you can close again with these tools. That's the main thing. But really, you can't really say anything's destroyed forever because everything exists somewhere. Even if it's just in a memory. A memory is something. Remember, the only thing which is really eternal is pure awareness. Everything else is our creation. It can be destroyed and it can be created. You can destroy something and you can recreate it. That's our power. But the thing to remember, it is your creation. Ask yourself, why would you want to recreate it? What patterns are going inside yourself that you're dealing with? Your beliefs, your fears, your expectations. The old laws they're still operating, saying this is going to happen again. If you've been through my healing course, remember I spoke about demon trees. Deeper than the animalistic level goes to plant level, which spreads through the system and grows new demons. If you've got something on that level that's gone so deep, you'll recreate new demons to destroy the old ones. It's simply a deeper level of creation, that's all. So you have to almost have to work out our process of creation at a deeper level. The way this works, the more we suppress something, the more it goes deeper into the layers of unconsciousness. You may start with a belief that's acts in the subconscious. Push it deeper, makes a law in the unconscious. Push it deeper, becomes animalized, conscious like a demon. It acts on its own. Push it deeper, goes to the plant level where it grows new demons. All that really is like a very, very deep program. We push so deep into the unconscious, it'll keep repeating itself. It's like, and I say, another level of creation. We can create things. Now, at times you destroy it, you can always recreate it, but it is your creation. So, we take the healing deeper. You close doors, you destroy things, and also, if necessary, you dig out these old laws and demons and demon trees as part of the healing system.
And then the final question from this person is, how can I call in much more powerful beings than the demons? And if so, what beings would have indeed the power to fully destroy and annihilate every really powerful negative beings?
Well, Kali, for a start. Remember the whole story of the Devaratri with Kali? She was brought in to destroy the demons that nothing else could destroy. In the whole story of the Chandipath, it was a time when heaven was being overrun by demons. Indra was kicked out. The demons had conquered heaven. So they turned to Shiva and he got to the other gods, Brahma and Vishnu, all the bigger gods. They pulled their energy into the abyss and put it together to create Kali, who was some of all their powers with all their weapons. She was the one who was created to destroy all the demons. She destroyed the whole armies of demons that nobody else could. That's what she was made for. She was the ultimate destroyer. There is nothing she won't destroy. No demon can stand up to Kali. Simple as that. So make a good connection to Kali. Start her mantra, build a connection to her, align yourself with her, start working with her.
If I have an energy that doesn't belong to myself, and the person cannot speak of his or her mind, or I cannot speak my mind freely, and I'm living in a numb state most of the time, such energy is removed by healing by either myself or a healer. How effective is it to remove recurrent events? Will it take away the opportunity for lessons learned, or will it lead to my soul mission incomplete?
It simply isn't complete. It won't stay healed because there's a boundary issue there. You see, these things you numb out because you can't handle something. If energy is affecting you, there's lack of boundary. That's what has to be dealt with. If that isn't dealt with, there'll always be a problem. You might have covered up one problem, another one comes up. So you'll have to learn that lesson in the end anyway. So it isn't really going to stop you're learning your lessons, but it is a distraction because you have to go deeper and deal with the boundary issue. Remember what boundaries are really about? It's about knowing where you begin, where you end. Your likes, your dislikes, where you draw the line, what you want, what you don't want, who you are, your strengths and weaknesses, everything that makes you, that's your boundaries. You have to define it first of all and stick to it. Stick to your goals and what you want to create in life and learn to say no. Building boundary is the issue here. And also, this affects the aura, of course. When your aura is weak, everything gets in. Now, what weakens the aura is unconsciousness. And unconsciousness is basically all the times you give up self-governance. It can come from drugs, it can come from numbing out, it can come from lack of assertiveness. So, the goal here then is to rebuild boundary. Let's build the aura so nothing gets in and nothing bothers you. You maintain your integrity, you maintain your sovereignty, because things can't get through your aura and affect who you are. That's the real issue here. And do that, you're going to release all the old unconsciousness, all the reasons you've numbed out and didn't deal with things. Which means developing some courage and assertiveness to deal with everything that's around you. So you see, it's a whole path of healing. It's not just one thing. When we heal, we start with the aura. You clear the unconscious, there's no holes. You deal with the apathy, you deal with your fear, all those things. So you develop some kind of assertiveness and power. So you can actually go out and create what you want and not be afraid of anybody. So it's a whole healing path going on, you see, through the layers.
When you're trying to entice an egregore into a doll with incense, what happens if they already exist in another doll? Is it possible to exist in two dolls, or does it go to the doll it prefers? E.g., what happens when two or more magicians are competing for control over the same egregore?
The stronger one gets it, basically. It can be in both places, yes, because time is also an illusion. It's like the whole thing of taking a call from one place to another shows it can cross time and space. And when two people have it, it's in both. It's kind of split because the time and space an illusion. It exists and both are attached to it. So both can have it, yeah. But actually, if someone is stronger than the other, they take it. So it's about who's doing the magic better, who's actually binding the doll better, who's feeding the Loire better.
With someone like the government considering all the departments, sub-departments, and quasi-agencies, is it possible that there are thousands of egregores at work?
Yeah. They're part of a bigger egregore, but there's like sub-egregores within it. This is the whole problem. It gets really complex here because it's like a whole network of things working together for a common purpose that are hitting different angles. This is how their control is so insidious. So start with, before you actually look at all the outside things, you have to look at your boundaries, your sovereignty. So it doesn't matter what's out there, it's not getting in. Then you can stop and look at these things and deal with them one at a time. At first, you're overwhelmed. You want to create some boundary first and have your defences up.
And then in psionics, can you explain the difference between using the Sekhmet talisman and the Apep talisman on something like a curse or a spirit attachment? Does Apep delete the resonant energy within the target that allowed the curse, the spirit, to invade them in the first place? And does Sekhmet then protect against the same resonant energy?
Yeah, Sekhmet is basically for protection. You set that on yourself so nothing can get in. A PEP voids whatever you put it on. So you wouldn't set up a PEP for yourself. No, you set up against the energy you don't want. Sekhmet's doesn't void, she's the protector. That's a whole different thing, you see. So what you do in this case, if you've got problems around you, you put Sekhmet on you for protection. Then you analyse the different negative influences and use PEP to void them all. You can void the curses, you can void the power of the person who's doing the curse so they can't do it again. You can void the egregores. You can void anything.
Right, so I'm just scrolling through the chat now. So I'm heading over to here. In previous talks, you mentioned black hellebore as a way to deal with mental illness. Are there other techniques that you recommend? Would the Sri Yantra be helpful?
It is because Sri Yantra basically brings back to the divine blueprint, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually as well. So meditation, the Sri Yantra has many benefits. That's why it's called Sri Yantra. Sri is means auspicious. It's like the all-purpose, perfect perfection talisman, you see. So you meditate on the Sri Yantra, it's bringing you back into this harmony of how you should be, how you're meant to be before you had any karma, before you had any damage. So it'll affect you mentally, physically, emotionally, everything. So yeah, meditation, the Sri Yantra helps with everything. If you're looking at the boundaries of the mind, okay, this is where the hellebore comes in. The black hellebore is good for building boundary. Things like then borage actually stabilizes the mind, but gives more courage, more resilience to actually get through problems. These are basically what strengthen the mind so you can handle the traumas that are going on. Of course, the Star of Bethlehem is good for actually lessening the trauma. Henbane makes things less real, so they don't bother you as much. So yeah, that helps with trauma as well. So there's various plants that can help with these things, and it's good to know your plants. They're so versatile for so many different things. If you go to my book on spiritual allies, and it covers many of the spiritual properties of plants there and how they can be used this way. I say I use henbane for making things less real, so the traumas are easy to deal with. Then you can use things like Star of Bethlehem for the trauma, and belladonna for the cleansing, to get rid of the negative influences, borage for the courage, black hellebore for boundaries of the mind. What else do you want to do with it? There are many possibilities here.
If I could just ask you just to make sure that you're pronouncing the plant names quite clearly so that everyone can understand. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Okay, moving on to our next question. Are you familiar with the Tibetan practice of feeding our personal demons through turning ourselves into nectar? This is a way to satisfy them and turn them into allies. Do you recommend this practice?
For that to work safely, you have to be into the whole system that they're working with here. A lot of people actually panic with that one because you have something, you can feed yourself something, it feels that you're going to oblivion. If you don't haven't done all their practice to handle that state, you won't do it very well. So I would only do that if you're actually part of that system where you actually do all the meditations. So your personal demons, we have different ways of dealing with those here. And of course, there are different kinds of personal demons. There's something this brings to mind, which is what they call the objective protector. Now, this is something in you, which is why you can do this. You can actually let it eat you eat it as well, because you have to overcome the separation. Some of your personal demons, obviously, you want to end separation from, because they're not really things you want to get rid of, but rather things you want to integrate. And what you do in this case, rather than just let it eat you eat each other. The same time, and you have to bring your higher self into this. Your higher self wraps you both up in cocoons, you and projects you beyond time and space. In that cocoon, you and the enemy eat each other as fast as you can. And then when your higher self brings back and unwraps you, they've changed. They're now an ally rather than an enemy, and you can tell them what you want. So I find it better to eat each other rather than just let them eat you, because that's too passive. You want to have some kind of control in the process of knowing where you're going with it, you see. It's not enough to us to say, oh, this is a demon. I'm going to let it eat me. It's identifying what it actually is. How is it working? Which part of you is separated? What does it do? Understanding it and then actually ending the separation is actually a far more complete process. Like with the objective protector, it's a part of you which it almost builds upon some controlling parent which wants to stop things for your own good. That's what the parents tell you, are going to block you for your own good. And it's always selling you, so it has a reason to keep doing it. So it's not really doing any good, but it makes you think it's for your own good. As if you're not responsible enough to handle your own life, it takes all your power away in many ways. And it has all these things it objects to. Actually, if that comes to an ally, it can object to other things that you really don't want. See how it works? The ability to object is useful, but you don't want to be objecting to the wrong things. This is how you turn an enemy into an ally inside. But to do that, you're going to have to conquer it, you're going to have to understand it, you're going to have to actually transmute it by eating each other.
Sounds delightful.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Would raising one's vibration enough make one not even more attractive to entities so that they wouldn't be an issue, or is that not practical or
Oh, it
possible?
is. When you get very high, they can't stand it. Low astral entities exist in a lower vibration. When energy is really high, it's like the Kundalini, it gets hot. It's a bit like having one of these little fly zappers. You get too close, it just flies you. Low entities cannot stand that high energy.
So it's advantageous to keep raising your energy.
Yes.
How can we protect a baby in the womb from entities that may be connected to either parents? There is concern that previously removed sexual demons have returned due to consistent negative sexual thoughts.
Thoughts themselves don't create the demons. It's the suppression that creates problems with not at peace with your emotions. We all have thoughts. You have fantasies and all kinds of things go through your mind. If you're not at peace with them, if you make it a problem, you're going to suppress things and create all these demons by suppressing emotions. Now, the thing is, the baby within the mother's womb is actually the mother's aura. If the mother's aura is sealed, things don't get in. Of course, the mother's thoughts will affect the baby. And that's why it's important that the mother is actually tries to get their own mind healthy, not suppress things and not to have guilt and shame about things like this. So really it's the most best time for the mother to go through healing, because she's doing it for the baby as well as herself. She gets rid of the negative thoughts and the negative feelings and the judgments and all these oppressions and just accept her emotions. The baby's already healing. The baby will actually be born knowing how to understand its emotions and accept them. This is a big problem, people not allowing their emotions. Never thought, think, I mustn't have this thought, I'll put it away. That creates a problem. If you don't judge a thought, it passes. You feel it, think it, passes. It's done. You've done that one. If you don't make a problem of it, it's not a problem. If you suppress it, you're pushing it deep down where it's not has been experienced, therefore it keeps existing. It doesn't get to the point of discreation. Remember, everything you actually want to discreate, you first have to feel, experience. If you're willing to feel and experience things and then discreate, then nothing is a problem. You don't have to be afraid of any negative thoughts or feelings. This way we have to get the whole thing clear here. People spend too much time judging emotions and pushing them away, and this is what creates the problem. What we learn to do here is actually welcome emotions so they can actually pass and discreate. There's a big difference. If you're doing that, you won't have problems with entities. Things won't get into the baby when it's in this mother's womb because the mother always is what's keeping the boundaries there. As long as the mother doesn't suppress things, baby is safe.
I have impressions that Starlink, chemtrails, nanoparticulate sprays, etc., could have a wider agenda. It
Oh,
is
yeah.
said that the deep state with Bill Gates are trying to block out the sun. Are they also blocking out beneficial cosmic energies in general, along with the sun?
Yes. There's so many energies out there which have proven to actually have a beneficial effect on their spiritual growth. A lot of these are being blocked out because they don't want people to grow, they want to keep them as slaves. They have the excuse that they're trying to block out harmful UV radiations, all sorts of things, but it's rubbish. The atmosphere maintains itself. It's like they're breaking the ozone layer, but every lightning storm produces new ozone anyway. The body repairs, the Earth's atmosphere repairs itself. You can overdo it, yes, but it's like this is not really the why they're doing these things. You do not have to go to that extent to protect the atmosphere from energetic radiation. They're blocking out something that we need. It's often the way they do it. It's all about slavery, you see. They want people to be slaves, not free and going. So yes, the particles in the atmosphere affect some of the higher radiations which could benefit us. It's all about control. They want to keep things as they want, not let things evolve naturally.
Are they also inviting darker energies increasingly through portals and places like CERN, maybe to try and take out
Definitely.
connection to higher planes of spirituality?
Oh,
We know that they
yes.
are trying to manipulate astrological forces.
Manipulating astrological forces isn't so easy, but yes, the portals are created very interesting. You look at it. If you remember the last eclipse, for instance, there was a lot of publicity about that, far more than any other eclipse. They wanted to actually put emotion into it, quite what they call a louche. Millions of people focusing on emotional things creates a great power they can direct. At the same time, at that very time, they switched on CERN. Now, I think it's another little thing you can look at, which actually shows the whole thing was something else going on. Although they were trying to say there was an eclipse there, many independent astrologers saying no, there wasn't. When you look at the film a bit very carefully, you can see the sliver of a moon nearby. It wasn't really an eclipse. Yet when you look at the eclipse forming, it didn't form normally. You didn't see this kind of moon passing across it. You suddenly went black in the middle, and it vanished again after a while. That was not an eclipse. They got people's emotions fired up and they switched on CERN and they did something. They created the portal. Something came in. So they are using CERN as a kind of magical experiment. This is old Nazi technology, basically, because I remember Hitler wanted to use two particular aspects of the Bavarian Illuminati, the Vril Society and the Thule Society. The Vril Society's job was to collect alien information, make contact with aliens, and get as much technology as they can there. The Thule Society was to create as much, collect as much occult knowledge as it could from all around the world. They're combining
What
the
was
two
that?
things
Sorry,
together.
Peter, can you say that
The
slower?
Thule Society's job was to actually collect as much occult knowledge from around the world as it could. Hitler was very much into the occult. They collected from Tibet, from various places, wanted to collect all the magic. So it's trying to control the world through a mixture of magic and alien technology, basically. and this is what's still going on. Nazis weren't really defeated. They spread across the world from Project Paperclip. They became part of America, part of the CIA, part of the KGB, with all spy networks. So they're still using this alien, this Nazi technology. And what's happening in this eclipse was creating the Loosh, which is actually a big emotional content, everybody focusing on it. Switch on turn to create a portal. They brought something in. But don't worry, I've already onto them, been changing that already. We don't need a big nuclear reactor to actually do this. This is how we always get them. They do such huge things to try and change the Earth that you can do it in more subtle ways, almost like a homeopathic way. So don't worry, we're fixing that one. But yes, that's what they're trying to do. They bring things in to hold it, to hold their own agenda. Often alien demons we never even heard of before, from a different dimension, not part of our system.
I completed the Nemesis meditation a couple of days ago and I had bad nightmares after, and I have been scratched myself all over while sleeping the next night. Am I on the right track?
Yes, but finish it. It means you're on the right track, but something's still there fighting back. It's not complete. Remember, the nemesis is the bit which punishes you, so it's going to punish you for trying to remove it. It's not quite gone yet. But you're well on the right track, which is why it's reacting. So take more time in the meditation to make sure it's all complete. You know, you recognize everything, give it all to your higher self, let your higher self give the energy back to you. Take a bit longer in it, complete it.
I'm going to go to the protection questions and then I'll go to the dragon magic questions after those. We'll stay on the topic of protection.
Yep.
A few days ago, Dr. Peter, apologies for pronunciations, Dr. Peter Hotez predicted a new pandemic starting next year, as Dr. Fauci did in 2017. I trust by that laugh I didn't pronounce that correctly.
That's okay.
Okay, right. How we I haven't asked the question yet. Wait. How do we protect ourselves from that eventuality? Should we limit our protection to be ready for whatever deep state throw at us? Or can we actually do a weeding of the future, take under our responsibility even this global level events and choose a different timeline?
Oh, well, don't worry, we're on it. Which one I put in my, what do I call it? There was one of the telephones I got for actually dealing with bioweapons, the bioweapon shield. I will update it so anybody who's got the bioweapon shield will find it updates automatically because I use the same symbol to upgrade the servitor. So I'm ahead of these things, don't worry. The reason I predict it is because they're creating it. Pretty obvious. You can actually tap into what they're creating and actually keep ahead of them. So they create the COVID, they're creating the monkeypox. So the talisman is now upgraded to deal with monkeypox, by the way, as well. So, you know, take care of that. Anything else we find, we'll deal with it as it comes up, and I'll upgrade the bioweapon shield. These are bioweapons, basically. That's how they predict it. They're creating it. That's when that's going to happen.
And what is the safest way to discern whether incoming negative subjective impressions, communications causing fear, anxiety, and nausea, is coming from a demon, evil entity sent by an adversary, or some authoritative entity used to roaming and ruling over a particular area?
It's often not really an entity, it's people. Governments and everything are very good at manipulating people's attitudes to create them fear. All these things are put out, all the false information about viruses, everything else is to put you in a state of fear. So it's people doing it rather than entities. Of course, the thought forms themselves act like entities. You know, once it's going around to people, you create a thought form, which can actually become an entity like if it has enough energy to create a will of its own. So these entities are being created by people. It's people's thought forms that are doing it. There's an agenda here to keep people in fear, to control them. The thing is, you know, use the mind shield so you don't believe all this rubbish that's coming in.
And someone has heard that an experienced channeler has received a message from above saying that there will be 3 days of darkness in the next 12 months. What do you think of the possibility of this happening?
Yes, but it can be interpreted many levels. I mean, some people say 10 days of darkness. And it's not like to be the sun blotted out or something. It's more like to be like, say, the internet shut down. There'll be darkness, electricity going, or communications going. There's going to be a big reset somewhere along the way, for good or bad. It depends how we create this. But at some point, there can be a reset. Internet will come down, communication be blocked. This could be a good opportunity to actually get rid of the old rubbish and actually put the new system up, or it could be actually to create a bigger system of control which keeps people more locked into the system. Depends how we want to create that, really. But you see, there's going to be a reset which means the system has to go down.
Okay, moving on to the dragon magic questions now then. Question number one. Going through the course and have been working with the five personal dragons and the two additional ones, Nagabhadra and Nagadigdaya. It says to do one dragon sutra for each dragon we have, so I do seven. Do we need to do an additional four sutras daily for the basic crown dragon, Makuto Nagasodosora, I've never been able to say that, Shahusla and the abundance dragon and the king and queen dragon?
You can actually multitask once you decide to set it up that way, and just, you know, you've got anchor, you have dragon sutra, all of them. It means every time you do a dragon sutra, you trigger all of them. And then you can do as many dragon sutras as you like to make it more and more powerful. So there's no set number anymore.
And then question number two. I would like to do the advanced dragon magic course after I finish the first one. It says that it will boost the dragon power 1,000 times. And there are also some additional dragons not included in the course on your website. Do you recommend getting those additional dragons first before the advanced course, or does it not matter?
Either way, it's fine. There's no exact order there. Obviously, one has to do the first dragon course, we'll do the advanced one, but the other dragons can be added as and when you like. And by the way, I've got another one coming out. I go to the battle dragons now, the nastier stuff for destroying your enemies and on a bigger scale.
Excited for that one to come. So moving away from dragons now, we're going to go back to, because you there was a question earlier about mental illness, and we talked about the hellebore. Do you look at illness as something unique to each person? For example, if a person has a mental illness, are the roots the same for all people, or is it important for you to understand a person's particular situation?
It's always individual, yes. Illness isn't a fixed thing. Each person is a complex being, and something's gone on with it, with their process. And we had to look at the whole process of what's gone wrong. It's not one thing for everybody. This is how medical science tries to deal. They try to deal with it. A disease has to be one thing, there's one cure for. But natural medicine doesn't work that way. We treat the whole, not the disease. So if it's a mental illness, we have to look at what's gone wrong, what traumas, what's created the mind to split, what's gone wrong with for them. So yes, it's always individual. We have to look at the whole person.
Going back to the previous question, would utilizing Rife frequency or scalar frequencies in addition to psionics effectively block energy drain from these negative thought forms from the deep state workers? They're really pushing the envelope in the US, as they are everywhere.
They are, aren't they?
Yes.
It can help, yes. It's just a different level of working. It's like, obviously, doing the electromagnetic frequency of Rife, I mean, these actually do affect the cells and the state's consciousness and everything, so they do help. Psionics is more subtle. But it's it can achieve the same end.
So Stefan has a question with regards to the demon tree that you were talking about and discreation. The friend I am trying to help, his friend who is now in coma surgery gone wrong, also lost his mum to a stroke and his wife. I think that he lost his wife, not he lost his mum to his wife. So this is the third time that has that. This is the third time that has come happened to people in his life. Does that mean that he has a demon tree that is creating the pattern of people that he loves keeping getting strokes and that he should discreate? And is this an indication that he is in danger of a further stroke himself? Can this be checked by looking into his ultimate healing eye chart, or what do you look for?
Very, very much, because it's like if it's already happened to three people so far, it could even pass on to other people in the family if it's not dealt with. It's like a family demon. Or even an astral, like a generational curse. So you do have to look into that. Things can be passed on genetically when they go to a deep level, this way in the unconscious.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Peter. So far, that is all of the pre-submitted questions and the questions from the audience today asked.
Okay.
Is there anything else that you want to say to anybody, to everybody?
Really, it's just that the answer's already there if you check my Sonics page, because it's like I've put out cures for the problems that come. So we've got problems for the diseases, the bioweapons, the mind control, it's all there. So if you're worried about anything, take a look at that page first. There's usually a cure for it. The Sonics page is where I've been putting the latest stuff when I'm dealing with all this happening in the world and putting the cures out. So yeah, you'll usually find it there. And if you're not sure, ask. I'm always here to answer if you... have any particular problems coming up, don't know how to deal with it, I can give you some advice.
And that kind of answers the next question. Someone is asking if they wanted ongoing guidance from you, what is the best way to go about that? And I would suggest that they email you to
Obviously.
share what it is that they want.
Yeah, first of all, email, that's always the first step. And if something more is needed, we can discuss it as we go along.
And I'm sure Peter will always have time to give empowerments whilst in Peru.
Yeah, can do
Someone's
that.
asking, yeah, they're basically asking, will you still be working online whilst you're in Peru?
I can still get my messages there, yeah. Obviously, I'll be busy during the day, but I have a bit of time each day to get some messages. No really long
Yeah.
messages that take an hour to read, though, because I won't have that much time.
Short and sweet, please, everybody. Short and sweet. Oh yes, Florian, my friend, I forgot to ask that. I don't know where I put that. I even saw your message, didn't I? And Florian is asking, is there an update to the voodoo initiation that you were talking about, please?
Not yet, but yes, the initiation, not yet. I mean, it's like we're looking at the land. This will be in Peru as well. I'll discuss it when I go there again with my Gojo's, if it's got some land there, to see how it's doing. Obviously, we've got to prepare a space for it. It's not actually in Pesaque, it's a bit further out way across the country, so it's well hidden and quiet. It won't be disturbed. But we're going to be creating the right peristyle, all the right conditions we need to do a full initiation. When we do it, it'll be a 2 week process, but I don't know when yet. It's still in the making.
Someone is asking, what is the best protection for small children?
Tree spirit. This very classic in our tradition. That's you usually have a tree spirit to look after children with if they're left in the cot, for instance, because a child on its own, but it's not in its parents' aura, is vulnerable. Its aura's not yet fully formed. A tree spirit with it will protect it and stop anything getting in.
And will there be some ceremonies in between ayahuasca ones in Peru? Are you talking about Loa ceremonies, Vladin?
Oh,
Is
that
that
they always we always do those here.
I'm not sure. If you mean something else, please do ask. What would you recommend we do with the psionics charts? I put one under my pillow in my bed so I absorb the chart whilst I'm asleep.
You can do that. Yeah, that's fine.
Will demon armor help keep entities from embedding themselves within the organs of the body that are attempting mind control?
Yes. Demons are good at that. They're very primordial beings, but they know how to basically, the first thing you learn to survive. You know, all the primordial beings have very strong survival skills, very strong defense.
There are so many ways to work on the chakras. What would you recommend?
Chandali, remember, I think it was level 3, we had all the chakra kind of mantras. That really kind of brings away the energy and gets some clearing, because otherwise it's working on this on self just by visualization is not quite hitting it. You need to bring the right energy in. It makes the whole process much faster and smoother.
So a reminder to everybody, if you are considering coming to Peru for either point holding or medicine or both, then your deposits and intentions need to be set by January the 26th so that we know exactly who is coming and there are limited places. So please do, if you're considering, we recommend that you set your intention as soon as possible so that we know you are coming and one of those spots is for you. If you have any particular questions with regard to that retreat, then please do put them in MeWe. You can either DM me or you can send the message to Peter and he'll be able to answer that for you. Maybe you've got some concerns about whether it's applicable for you or if it's going to help you with your particular situation, whatever that might be, then please do ask. Can we look forward to a basic teacher's course in the future where we can pass on a basic set of empowerments to people around us to raise their vibrational or physical school of Aziz shamanism?
Some of them, yes, like for the Chandali. Once you got to level 4, you can pass them on. Well, all the ones below it anyway, but usually to get to the level where you can pass on, let's say the Dzogchen and the Vajrayogini, takes a lot more. We haven't got to that yet. But you can start passing on the lower levels in Chandali at least level 4 anyway. Tenegadalam, there's a master level 4. Asmat Kodam, there's master level 4, so you can actually learn to pass them on. There are those, yeah. Many of them have master levels if you want to do that.
And I've noticed that for those of us who are part of your monthly contribution, where you give us regular Tanagadalam and Chandali upgrades, it says in all of those manuals that we are allowed to pass them on. Is
Yeah,
that
that's
correct?
right. Yeah. So yeah, basically, as long as you've got level 4, you can actually pass things on. And obviously, this is only for, then these upgrades only for those who've got level four anyway.
So going back to the chakra question, I have a friend who just removed her chakras, saying that they are not part of our original blueprint, that chakras were implanted into humans at some point. Do you have any opinion on this?
It's a crazy idea. I've only known two people who got into this whole chakra removal system, and they're both dead. So be careful of that one for that reason alone. It's like, the idea is crazy because chakras formed before we did. Remember how things form? Everything first begins starts as a vortex. And the old Abramelin scripture says, "Settle our boat in at opera rotus." It means the creator, slow moving, maintains his creations as vortex.
Can you repeat that? What was
There's a
that?
famous Abramelin square, which is one of the old magical talismans, which says, "Tenet, settle our boat tenet opera rotas." It's a square which adds up the same in each direction. Actually means the creator, slow moving, maintains his creations as vortices. Everything begins to spin. You see, the space isn't just empty. It's space-time is something. And this space-time can be caused to spin, and that's what creates a particle. Every particle is simply a spin in space-time. Every creation is a spin. We first create as a spin, a vortex. We then differentiate to different levels of consciousness and can turn this spin into more spins because you want to separate things. So our chakras form before the body and everything else does. It's not added later, it comes first. We start as one chakra, we split into seven. Then we create, out of that, we create an etheric body and an aura and then a body. If you move the chakras, you're moving the very creation of who you are. Everything else is going to fall apart.
And then the final question that I will ask for today is, what is the best protection to support one who lacks self-confidence?
Self-confidence is about the solar plexus, and many things affect that because this is the most leaky chakra because it's the largest and loosest, and also means that connection to other people. The confidence is going down because the energy is leaking all over the place and being taken by other people. So the first thing is to learn to stop that happening. Cut ties, draw energy back in. Again, the flower is for this. Periwinkle draws energy back in so you stop leaking. Belladonna will cut the ties. Waterly helps retain the boundary as well. Mandrake is really good one for strengthening the boundary so it doesn't leak. So several of these plants are really good for actually building that barrier so you stop leaking energy. If you don't leak energy from the solar plexus, you can build up strength again so you develop confidence. It's really about developing the solar plexus.
Where do I find more information about generational demons?
Where did I put it? It's written a bit in my Ultimate Ego Course, I believe, because we did real demons there, and some of our generational, yeah, because we don't pass things on genetically. But it's very much the same. You have to dig in there, exercise it, remove it. Same techniques, through underworld journeying, through dragon magic.
And then the final one. I hope this doesn't open a can of worms. Can you say something about Nassim Haramein's new theory that spin creates mass?
It is,
That might be a little bit,
that's just what I was saying. Everything begins to spin. You see, when you look at space-time, okay, isn't just empty space isn't just empty space. Our universe is what's called a false vacuum. If it was a real vacuum, we wouldn't have any light because nothing can travel. You see, light is electromagnetic vibration which requires qualities known as what they call them now, I can't remember my science back in those days. Permittivity and permeability. They determine how electric field and magnetic field put into things. For light to travel through space, there must be a permeability and a permittivity, otherwise you couldn't travel. And it's measurable. And they found the speed of light is it actually matches the data of what they expect from it, from its permittivity and permittivity. So space isn't just empty. It's something there. What is it? It's space-time. Before anything can be created, space-time had to be created. And this is movable. Light is like a wave through space-time. When you observe a wave, it's localized into a particle because it's now in one spot and it creates a spin. A particle is a spin of space-time. People ask, what is there to spin? Space-time. That's what spins. When it's still or a wave, all you see is light. When it spins, you have a particle. On a bigger scale, I said, we are particles, we are spins as well. Everything begins as a spin. That's what the whole Abramelin square I was just talking about says. the creator maintains his creation, this vortices spins. So the science is actually proving what the magician said all the way along. We can measure things as a spin. They've always measured particles this way anyway. You look at electrons, positrons, and the quarks and things. How do they measure them? Spin. What are the qualities of a quark? Up spin, down spin, strange or charmed. The Earth is measured by a spin. It spins one way or the other. That's all you can say about it. Everything is a spin. Every particle is a spin. Now, things, they only form when you observe them. Bohr's wave particle duality model shows that things only wave to observe them. When you observe a wave, it localizes because wave isn't in one place, it's spreading. When its observation localizes, it becomes a particle because that wave now becomes a little spin, which is now a particle. So you can see then that the science is showing what magic has always said. It's created by observation, by expectation, consciousness. These are all the things which create the illusion of matter, which is nothing but spins in the emptiness of space-time.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. So
It's nothing
everybody
new.
then,
It's really nothing new. Sometimes it's just rehashing old stuff in a new language.
your gaps of silence are getting longer. I thought you'd finished.
Yeah, I had, but then I thought of something else.
All right, well, I'm finishing you now.
Okay.
Everybody, the next Q&A is on January the 4th, where it is a students only, and Peter will be talking about how to protect yourself against mind control and negative agendas. So if you are a student of Peter's, please do check your emails for the registration link so that you can come and join us on January the 4th, where we'll be talking about that. And as I said, between now and then, you've got the angels and demons, how to use them to manifest the life that you want on December the 21st, your winter solstice workshop. And also, there will be the little thing called a festive holiday in between now and January the 4th. So if we don't speak to you until January, I do hope you have a wonderful festive period, wherever you may be in the world. So thank you very, very much. Peter, if I could just get you to have one last glance at the audience. Thank you very much. And as I said, I've told you about Dragon Magic coming up in January, and I've told you about Peru coming up in February, and I've told you, I can't remember what else I told you. So that's it from us today. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for
Okay.
contributing all of your questions, your thoughts, your energy, your love. And we will see you all very, very soon. And if you need anyone in the meantime, you're welcome to pop your question in the MeWe group. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. Take care.
Yes, we see you all soon.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.